Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, welcome to the Advice Show on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Philip, and coming to you tonight with another radio show, another episode. Next Great Comedian with Victor Dean, a.k.a. Paul Jr. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to bring that brother in, and we'll get to the interview. I know you're anxious to talk with our brother here. Hey, how you doing, Vic?
Hey, now, how you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. I want to go ahead and get to this particular interview. I'm pretty sure I'm glad you came out and willing to participate with us tonight.
I'm glad you hit me up, man, and have me on the show. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Oh, no problem. So, first question I got for you is, when did you decide comedy would be something to pursue?
Well, I'm a trained actor, you know, point blank. Just starting out, I started in fourth grade, you know, little kid, performing arts high school in Cincinnati, Ohio, and went to Morehouse College, and then I did tons of theater there, and did a couple of years at the MFA at the University of South Carolina. So, that's pretty much my background, and then, you know, trying to move out here and do what I can do in California. You know, California for an actor, man, it's a grind out here. And just, you know, got my little niche with comedy, and it was actually, you know, it had to be a woman. My wife actually really just kind of pushed the envelope with the Paul Mooney Jr. I did it one day for her, and she loved it, and she just said, you know, why don't you just put that up on the internet and see how it flies, and it took off like gangbusters, man, like motherfucker. It blew up.
Yeah, you know, see, now that I always tell people that's the mark of a good woman, when a woman actually make you better and not make you worse.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, because they got some of these females out here, man, they would drag you to hell. Boy, I tell you.
I've been there and back. Let's put it like that. It's a whole bunch of men been there and back with the wrong woman.
Exactly. Like exactly. You know, these females are crazy, man. How long have you been doing comedy? How long have you been doing that parody?
Well, the parody has been going on for pretty much over a year. I mean, it started as a fluke. Me and my wife were watching Ari Spear, who does a good impression of Paul Mooney. And, I had always been, you know, when me and my wife would go out to dinner and people would be like, oh, yeah, oh, we love your dad. And I'm like, who? And we would just be like, oh, you know, I look so much like, you know, so much like him. But when we saw Ari Spear do the parody, I just, you know, threw on the skull cap and threw on the jacket, and I started doing the PMJ stuff, and my wife was like, you know, that was good. And I just, you know, I took a day off one day and, you know, got the camera out and called a couple of friends, and we shot it up, and I put it up on the internet, and like I said, that's just how it is. I mean, his cleverness, you know, for Paul Mooney Jr., he's just so damn clever with his comedy, especially with the whole race car. You know, some people, you know, kind of dance around the whole race thing, but, you know, Paul puts it in your face. So, I mean, I wanted to try to kind of emulate that as far as the parody. I mean, it's solely, you know, trying to show homage to him. I'm not trying to be him at all. That's why I kind of turned it into the Paul Mooney Jr. versus it was just me doing the parody in the beginning. So, I mean, it just kind of morphed into the PMJ brand.
Okay, now, question. Have you ever met Paul Mooney?
I've met him once. I have met the man, yeah. And he's an interesting character. I mean, me and my wife, we drove up to San Francisco to see him. I think it was on a New Year's Eve, maybe about 4 or 5 years ago, for a show. And we had a great time. He ripped the spot. That's one thing about, like, comedy. I can't do comedy. Like, that, you know, the whole stand-up, you know, innate kind of, you know, it has to be in you. And I'm an actor. I don't have that, you know, on the fly kind of st- stage, you know, Richard Pryor, Paul Mooney Jr. kind of thing. So, you know, Paul has that. And, you know, I did meet him. I just say, you know, after the show, I just said, yeah, I made it a point. I wanted to go ahead and talk to him. But when we came out, he was just sitting there signing autographs. And my partner was standing next to me, and I just looked over, and I was like, damn, is Paul Mooney mean-mugging the shit out of us? I was like, I don't know, what the fuck, you know? So I just said, well, you know, let me just walk on over there. So I walked on over, and I just said, you know, it's been a, you know, it's, you know, we, me and my wife, me and my partner, we, and his wife, we drove out here to see you all the way from L.A., and, you know, we really love your comedy. We've been watching you for a while, and we have all your DVDs and everything. He's like, oh, all the way from L.A., wow, you drove a long way. And I was like, God damn, like, dude, we came all the way, we drove all the way here to see you. And I was like, oh, shit, okay. But I got in the car like, what was that shit about? But, you know, whatever. I think that's probably one reason why I don't have any problem doing the parody. I don't.
So basically, after that encounter, is that's when you started doing a parody, or that was before you? Right after you met him.
That happened, and then maybe about 6 or 7 months later, I started doing it. I mean, I kind of held back on it. I didn't know if I was going to do it or not, but you know, not out of spite doing it, but it was just that, you know, I did the parody. I mean, the impression kind of well. You know, I was like, okay, well, you know, people like it. You know, one video turned into, you know, 10 videos, now 44 videos. It's like, you know, okay, I got something here. So let's keep, you know, keep the ball rolling.
Now, let me ask you a question. Since you was talking about people in public think you actually his son, like, what's the craziest thing somebody offered you because they thought you were his son?
Dessert.
Dessert
at a restaurant.
You know what? I'm sorry. I would have took that dessert. I know how I would have took it because, hey, free dessert is good.
Yeah, we ate it. I mean, I did clear it up, you know, that, one time I did, but, you know, because the person never really came back, the waiter never came back, but, you know, I cleared up. I'm not walking around trying to say I'm Paul's son or nothing like that, but, you know, I'll always put it plain and clear it up, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Now let me ask you a question about the people that watch you and stuff like that. What's been the fan response to your parody?
Well, I mean, people, I gotta say it's been a really good response, especially the comedians, like you know, like Faison Love reached out to me on Twitter, and D.L. Hughley, Cheryl Underwood, they love the parody, stuff like that. I mean, they've really, who else? What's his name? I'm drawing a blank right now. Love Jones guy, Wood. I know the damn character in Wood. Bill Bellamy, I'm sorry.
No,
Bill Bellamy. They retweet my stuff all the time. They love the parody. Most people just say that, you know, I kind of get the backlash from it being Paul Mooney, you know, Junior. So most people think at first sight that I am Paul. So because he's so racially inclined in his comedy, most people are like, well, fuck you, Paul, kind of thing.
Yeah.
But then some people, then they read the caption, they say, oh, Paul Mooney Junior, this is a parody. Oh, this shit is good. Especially, you know, when I go into, you know, Fragrant Nigga stuff and, you know, different topics that we talk about, and I get a lot of the topics from the viewership, which is really great too. So it's been a really good, you know, it's been a really good response. But you know, some people on the internet, they batshit crazy. So they just say but just about anything that roll off, you know, off their brain. So I get a whole bunch of hate stuff, but I get a whole bunch of keep the videos coming stuff, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Cause them, you ain't gonna stop them people that's hating, because they, man, that's all they got to do all day. Obviously.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, hell yeah. Hell yeah.
They stay on their job 24/7. That I have learned.
They don't give it up, especially off of that Gabby shit. So we'll talk about that later.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. We're getting into some of that. Let me ask you a question. You was mentioning your wife. How long you been married?
I've been married 5 years this month. So.
All right, good deal.
Yeah.
You made it five years. You can make it forever.
That's what I'm saying. And I tell you this, we got married for the right reason. So I just tell everybody, you know, if you think about getting married, don't get married for the wrong motherfucking reason. Get married, you know, because that's, you know, if you're a believer, equally yoked. You know, I don't want to get on my soapbox, but you know, you gotta believe in the same, same base, and let the person be your friend too. So I mean, we run around here acting like fools. That's why I write down half of the shit that we talk about. So it ends up turning into a show and garners a whole bunch of hits. So she's definitely a big inspiration to, you know, what I do, a big motivation.
That's good. Now, let me ask you another question about your wife. Like, what advice you can give people to, you know, possibly, you know, have a marriage at least long as you or longer? I mean, because obviously y'all doing something that's right, you know, a few things that may be right to stay with each other outside of being, you know, equally yoked, which we know, you know, basically being compatible and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's some key things that, you know, you guys are doing to keep their relationship going. I mean, what is that?
Communication. I tell you, it's a hard thing for men. I mean, especially, you know, I mean, I'm my father's child. My father didn't really communicate that well to my mother. But, you know, but when you get somebody, you know, that, you know, wants to talk to you and wants to, you know, work things out and work this, I mean, because life can be a motherfucker, dude. Like, you need somebody that is in your corner. And when you got somebody in your corner, I mean, it's better for you to be working together towards something than working against each other. And so I tell you, if you're going to get married for the right damn reason, like really, not because of the nigga got money, the nigga might have some money or any other ulterior motive, but you know that you guys are really friends, because the communication, I talk more now than I've ever had with any woman.
Yeah.
You know, so that I think that's the biggest thing, and trying to just work it out, like, you know, we argue, but we don't really argue. I used to have knock down, drag out fights with my exes and shit like that. But I guess when you get married, it's just like, you know, I know this is it. Like, me and my wife, this is it. Till I die, I'm going to die, and you're going to be with me, or I see you in heaven kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, you really just got to make sure that you're just communicating and you guys talk, you know, you talk and you make goals for yourself. You set short-term and long-term goals for your marriage. You know, you want to knock those short-term goals out for longevity. So that's what we're trying to do. I mean, we ain't perfect, but we're working on it.
Nobody is perfect. But, you know, the one thing that sticks out, you know, for me talking about marriage, you know, I'm a married man myself, is that, like, you know, I went through a pretty bad divorce, you know, with my ex-wife.
Ooh.
And, you know, and pretty bad, when I've explained that in much detail, you know, on my YouTube channels. And the situation with my wife is that, you know, why I married her is kind of the same thing. She's a real good person. There's one thing that sticks out for me for her the most is she's extremely supportive of anything I do.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
she's trying to work against the grain or nothing like that. And I've done a whole lot more with her in a short amount of time than I did with my ex-wife I had. You know, and I was with her for years. You know,
mm-hmm.
it means a lot when you're with a supportive woman that's going to say, hey, go ahead and, you know, give it a try to do what you believe in your heart you can do.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And they've got to believe in it. They got to believe in the dream, too. You know what I mean? Like, you know, with the job that I do have and you know, me working and writing and acting and stuff like that, I got to have somebody that's going to believe in that. I've had some people that didn't believe in that. And, you know, they ain't here no more.
Exactly. And see, this is the thing. When you make it and when you get to where you want to be, them same people going to look at you and be like, man, you know, and they're going to want to come up to you later and say, hey, man, what's up? And this and that. And say, oh, no, don't say what's up to me now. And like, you can go ahead on where you was at. You know, thought I was crazy.
I'd be like, dude, I pray for you. You know, I pray that you would be a stepping stone and look at you here. Because you was hating.
Yeah, or like just thinking you're not going, you know, especially a lot of times with our people, talking about black folks, they quick to tear you down, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh, Lord. But let me ask you a question. You got kids?
Do not. I have a puppy kid. We have a puppy. That's our kid right now. But, you know, we want to go ahead and, you know, get to a certain point before we start having children. So, but we do have a dog, and the dog's Charlie. So we got puppy kids that is our child right now, I guess. But we're thinking about starting a family. Starting to have kids probably next year or a year after next couple of years.
Okay. Now let me ask you about your you got a YouTube channel and everything. How's that going along for you? How's that progressing?
It's good. I mean, we've got the Weekend Update with Paul on YouTube, and then we've got the Black Bull Entertainment page as well too, that we just channel partnered with the Comedy Shack Network. So, that's going to be launching, I think, in October, and we're with my production company, Black Bull Entertainment, we're just creating content, web-based content. For the channel, and just trying to do some original stuff. I mean, the Paul Mooney Jr. brand was not just the only thing that we could come up with. So we're coming up with a ton of stuff, animated stuff too, that we're working on as well. It's gonna be real good. It's gonna be real good. I think it's gonna really blow up, especially with the Shaq support. I think with once people really say, okay, well, past the Paul Mooney Jr. stuff, they'll be like, oh, well, they really create some really good stuff. So, mm-hmm. And I got some great supportive people, actors and producers and filmmakers and animators that are just like, okay, we do believe in what you're doing. So, take us with you kind of thing. And I'm like, okay, let me work my magic and see if we can get there, take everybody there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now let me ask you a question. You've been keeping your eye on these Olympics?
Oh hell yeah! I got a new show out. The new show is talking about the Olympics.
and I actually caught that. Now let me ask you a question. Just as a brother to a brother, what did you think about all the controversy about Gabby Douglas and they talking about her hair? Some of these females talking about her hair, not men.
Well, I just have to say this. That's just. She's going to have to get used to that because, women cut long and deep, I'm telling you. So they always hate to see another woman doing better than them, period. So she's going to have to get used to it. But I have to say I really admire her as a young person, because she figured out what she wanted to do really early. That's why people are hating on her. Like, so some people wait, well, like myself, you come out to do something, and then you end up getting caught up in work and job and family and doing this and stuff like that. That's why I think I don't have any kids yet. So, let me see how far I can take this acting. I'm 35 now. So, I wish at 25 I knew that I really wanted to do it. I mean, I went to Morehouse for business, and then I got into, getting an MFA in acting. But, I wish I would have gotten to it earlier to really figure things out. She's 16 years old. She knows what she knows exactly what she's gonna do. I mean, people hate on that, so I have to really commend her that she knows exactly what the fuck she wants to do with her life for the rest of her life. That kind of thing. Most people are miserable in their life, so she needs to really get used to, being criticized, especially being in the public eye. We ain't got shit to do, but talk shit about her. So, like I said, why are we even talking about her hair when we don't talk about that big ass poodle that's on top of Serena's head? Like, come on, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, like Miss Crip Walking Serena. What the hell was that? Crip Walking?
Listen, you can celebrate. I have to say, celebrate how you want to celebrate. You work so hard.
I'm sorry, Crip Walking, that's the most ghetto thing you can do.
She from Compton. Well, listen, she from Compton. You know, you can't take the hood out of no Comptonite. So, you know, I just say, hey, you want to do it? I mean, you want to make yourself look like a damn fool? Hey, all day long. But I mean, she's an Olympic gold medalist. She knocked it out. I mean, she got 2 gold medals, I think, for the women's single and for doubles. So, hey. Have fun. I bet you she drinking right now. Shit.
Yeah, just I don't know. Like that. So some of the things I've seen on that Olympics with some of these females, I just didn't like it whatsoever. Oh my man. But let me. You know, today something just kind of bothered me too. I was when I posted these videos talking about gonna have you on the show, and somebody was saying that, you know, oh well, you know, why he keeps doing this character, why he don't get his own, why he don't do something else on his own. Have you heard somebody say that before?
Oh yeah. I mean we've got, like I said, with Black Bull Entertainment, we got tons of, you know, content that's coming out. We've got Prison 101 with Stefan, which is funny. You know, he is talking about the, you know, the ABCs and 123s of all of these white collar crime people going into jail, and it's not just blacks and Latinos going nowadays, white folk going too. So we got Stefan talking about that. I'm doing a role while I'm writing, it's called The Adventures of Sleepy Sean, and I got some great actors, Donald George and Shannon Marie. I mean, there's some really good acting on that, but real funny characters. It's about a guy who is a black man who is a self-diagnosed narcoleptic. So it's like when he doesn't want to deal with reality or real life, he just falls the fuck out. So that's going to be some funny stuff. I got It's a Dog's Life coming. We're doing some voiceover stuff for the animated. And I've got a Bernie Mac Jr. and a Paul Mooney Jr. parody coming soon, too. So that's going to be funny. That's gonna be funny as hell. Like
Bernie Mac Jr.
Yeah, I got a guy, Donald George, that does a phenomenal Bernie Mac, like phenomenal. So we gonna take it to the tilt. But I mean that's the thing about creativity. I mean you create a brand and you just ride it till the wheels fall off. But you're gonna be doing other stuff. This ain't the only thing I do. I'm a damn actor. You know this. I ain't sitting at home doing PMJ all damn long. We're trying to be Paul Mooney. I'm not. You know.
Well, and it's like this. Even if you was, if you making bread and you got a fan base, who cares?
That's true.
That's how I look at it. I mean, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
That's true. That is true.
You know, people always try to tell you, you know, what you should be doing. Like, are you doing something better than what I'm doing? And if you are, showing me the way, that way I follow you. Well, 9 times out of 10, the people that's telling you these sort of things, not doing nothing but sitting at home in front of a computer just typing at you, and probably broke as a joke.
That's true. That is true. I'm always good to let some people, you know, have their own opinion, you know, because, you know, with the internet, I mean, there's some crazy motherfuckers out here. So I let them write whatever they want to write. I mean, I'm the one that is, you know, writing and producing and shooting and running out here trying to get ideas and doing this shit. So I have to spend my time doing that, trying to make it. I mean, I'm not even trying to really make it be a star. I want to be a working actor in working writer and actor in Hollywood. That's some hard shit to do. So that's what I'm concentrating on right now. So, you know, send me all the hate mail and send me all the love mail that you want. But that's what I'm trying to do.
Hey. That's what you should do, because you know, I always heard if they stop talking about you, then that's when you need to start worrying.
That's true too. I mean, I've got, you know, a lot of people support base. Like I've got tons of actors that have just reached out, like Donald, Shannon, a couple of actors, music people, producers that say, hey, you know, if you need some original content, you know, hey, use my music on this. So, you know, I've been like three musicians. One guy called Master G, you know, out of Atlanta. I mean, he hit me up on Twitter, and I said, well, send me some shit. It was some dope shit, so I put it in the show. You know, ooh, you know, I've got, who is it? Spider, the wise musician. That motherfucker, that's a bad motherfucker. He can make some damn music. I mean, I reached out to him. I heard him on YouTube. And I was like, you know, can I use your shit for the show? And he's like, hell yeah. And my Jesus, like, he was, you know, the intro to the show. That's his hook. So, hit me up. Just hit me up. If you want to work with me, and if you like it, if you're an actor, if you're a producer, if you shoot, if you write, I'm trying to work with people that are productive, that want to come up with some really good ideas. I'll tell you if your idea ain't no good. My wife will tell you that your idea is no good.
Well, that's good. That's pretty good if she's at least honest enough to tell you. Because some people smile your face and be like, oh, I don't know,
Oh, shit. I mean, I think it's funny. It's like, I think I'm a funny motherfucker, but when it comes to, like, shows, she's like, hell no. Don't do that. No. No. But sometimes I've vetoed the shit out of her, and it worked out being pretty good. But, half the time I'm really thinking, like, okay, she's right. That shit ain't funny.
Well, hey, man, sometimes you're at home, that's where your best critic's at anyway, is at home.
Oh, hell yeah. I listen to her all day compared to listening to the rest of these motherfuckers on the internet. Fuck that.
Yeah, yeah, because they going to tell you down regardless. You know how some of them are.
And you know what? I'll tell you this. A lot of other people out there, if you're thinking about trying to do something, you got an idea, write it down. I would say this, WGA your idea. License your idea. Make sure it's your motherfucking idea for 5 to 10 years. And then guess what? Go out and just get a camera and shoot it. Do it. If it's a great idea, people will come. Period. Just do it. I mean, some people just really think that they don't have the know-how and the wherewithal to be able to do it. Fuck that. Go out and do it. I can tell you, if I can do it, you can do it too. So,
that's the wonderful thing about the internet, is that, like,
man,
internet gives everybody a chance they would have never got a chance before.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the big reason why, let me just put it plain to you, the big reason why I continued to do the PMJ was this was my audition tape for the Richard Pryor story. If they ever were fucking going to go ahead and get that Richard Pryor story off the ground, I wanted to be first in line to audition for Paul Mooney. Period. You know what I'm saying? Period.
Uh-huh.
And, I know they've been working on that script for a long time. I think the script's done. But, financing and in the family and stuff like that, I've even reached out to, the producer's assistant and stuff like that. He's just like, no, your funding, call me in a year. And I'm like, okay, well, I'll call you in a year after I do a year worth of this Paul Mooney Jr. stuff, dude. So you people know that, I got my finger on the pulse to do Paul Mooney. So, that's the real reason in the beginning why I just, I was doing it. And then it just steamrolled on and kept, getting a little bigger and bigger and bigger. So I just, hey, this is it.
Okay. Well, man, it was good talking to you, brother. I mean, shoot, I don't want to take all your night from you. Get back to your fam and to your Twitter fam also.
I'm about to run over here up the street to go see D.L. Hughley in a second.
Oh, okay.
Man.
Oh, good deal. You and the wife?
No. I'm just running up there to go ahead and meet him. He's got a book signing, right up the street over at my house, and he tweeted to me. He's like, man, you better have your. He knows I live really close to where he's gonna be at. He said, you better have your ass over here. So I'm gonna, shit shower and shave and then run up there and say hi to my brother.
Oh yeah, yeah, do that, man. Gotta make them connections, you know what I'm saying?
He's got a book out. I think it's I'm still working on an ebook as well too. Relationship book. I'm working on a ebook, a PMJ relationship book too as well.
Okay.
we got a lot of irons in the fire. I mean, things going on. So if you want to reach out to me, just go to Twitter, at Paul Mooney Jr. YouTube, just search Paul Mooney Jr. or Black Hole Entertainment, or you can just go to blackholeentertainment.com. But if you do want to work with us, just hit me up. I mean, that's what happened. I hit up, Faison Love, and he's like, hey, man, I'm playing at the Comedy Union. Let's get up and let's talk. And I'm like, boom, I'm there. So if you want to work, you know, work with us, or you know, got a great idea, just hit me up, man.
Okay. All right. Well, everybody, hope they hearing that, and they want to work with Victor Dean, a.k.a. Paul Mooney Jr. He gave you all his links and everything. Well, brother, I thank you for coming through to the show and being a part of it.
I really appreciate you having me, man. If you need anything from me, you give me a holler, brother. I'll be there for you, okay?
All righty. All right. Take care.
Take it easy, brother.
All righty. So that was Victor Dean, a.k.a. Paul Mooney Jr. Like I said, I've seen a lot of his videos. I thought the brother was very funny. You know, with the creation of the Internet, it gives people the opportunity to do things that they normally didn't have an opportunity to do. I mean, even myself. I mean, I wouldn't have had the opportunity of doing some of the things that I'm doing now, even doing this Blog Talk radio show. I wouldn't have an opportunity to do anything on the radio if I didn't go through the old school means to do it, or how the things I may do on YouTube, or, you know, even this little, you know, following I may have. I don't say that I have a big one, at least not yet, but hey, I'm optimistic. But, you know, it wouldn't have gave me a chance, you know, if it wasn't the creation of the Internet. Now, on my Facebook page today, I talked about the second portion of the show. And I said that I want to get into the topic of the crabs in the barrel, crabs in a bucket mentality that's within the black community, which is, you know, you're in there with your people, but the moment one of us tries to scale up or scale out, they try to pull us back down into the mediocrity, into the low-level living that some of the others are living. And it's a messed up thing that, you know, as you start scaling up and as you start to be successful, it gets to a point that you can't be around your own people. It actually gets to that point. I mean, it's like at first they're cool with you when you're trying to make it. But when you start getting a little attention, getting a little notoriety, getting maybe just a little bit known, not a whole lot, they start to say things like, well, he or she think they're too much, or they think they're better than the rest of us, and who do they think they are? And yet they're not focusing on all the time when you were struggling trying to do what you're doing, while they wasn't doing anything, but yet criticizing somebody else, you were putting in the hard work. The same thing like the Gabby Douglas situation. That young lady put in a lot of hard work when nobody knew who she was. She shined when she had to shine, and yet people are talking about her, or different other athletes like Lolo Jones and whoever. Why do we do this sort of thing? I mean, why? I don't get it. I understand people can be jealous, but I notice in the black community that we do this a lot. And when a lot of our people become successful, they have to leave the black community and sometimes start fooling with black folks just to get away from some of that. Or they have to deal with black people who are similar to themselves, not in the area of money, but in the area of being progression. Now, you know, I look at it like this. This is really how I've been looking at it. You have your black people who's progressive, and you have your black people who are in a regressive state. I mean, they don't want to exceed. They don't want to do better. I mean, even though Martin and Malcolm fought all these things for us, yet they still don't want to scale up and do anything. But there are some of us that refuse to stay at the bottom, refuse to look at our skin color as a disadvantage, and use everything we can to scale up and provide for ourselves and for our families, and to be somebody. Whether you're, you know, Paul Mooney Jr. or anybody else you're trying to be, you do that. I mean, you don't sit there and let your family or no so-called friends or people on the internet of all people put you down enough to have you thinking that you can't do things for yourself and that you can't make it. You can make yourself out to be anything that you want to be. If the way I look at my life is this, the only person that can stop me is me. If I look in that mirror and the image that's staring back at me is the only person that can stop what I have to do for myself, okay? It's nobody else's responsibility to make sure I make it. The world doesn't owe me anything at all. I have to get about hard work and determination and having some patience to scale up. When I started this radio show back in May. You know, it was a feat for me. I said, you know, I got to do this, you know, but I hate trying to start something in its infancy because you got to get your following, you got to get people to come, you know, you have, you know, it's trying to brand yourself. But you know what? I said, I'm going to do it. And in that short amount of time, you know, I've had a few people that came on, you know, people that's been in reality TV, you know, people who's, you know, comedians and different things like that. And it was a shocker to me that I can even score any of these people. But that's, you know, me trying to get myself out there and do different things. And I'm not going to stop. I have so much confidence in myself and what I can do. I ask anybody to be on my show. The only thing they can say is no. That's the only thing they can say. Not, if they say yes, great. But I determined myself to have a great radio show and to put some thoughts out there and ideas out there that maybe other people could, you know, chime in and think about. Now, my show, you know, eventually, I say I'll do this about a year. I want it to the point that that I have the lines full 24/7. I mean, I've had shows like that in the past where, the lines wouldn't stop being full. But, you know, everybody has, you know, different, you know, show ideas they like and others. That's why I try to put out more ideas from my pages to say, hey, what kind of show would you like or what kind of guest you would like, to try to, you know, I don't want people to participate. I don't do this show for myself. I don't even do this show for money reasons. I do this show just to basically reach out to the people much as possible and to trade ideas. And maybe they've seen some YouTube videos I've done. Maybe they want to talk to me about that. Or maybe they want to cross a different ideas with me or whatever. You know, we can do it here. Or if you have some sort of discussion, if you have some sort of issue with somebody, you know, something like that, I have no problem trying to help you solve it here. It's no problem. Even if you're having a relationship issue, if you want to call in and say, hey, look, this is my man on the phone, this is me, this is the situation, discuss it, I'm here to do that also. I'm here to do all kind of things, but it's here, you know, for you guys. And that's what I'm doing it for. But, you know, I got to try and I got to keep with it, even though everything is in its infancy stage. But, you know, like I said before, you know, the call-in number is 347-996-3350 to those who are listening. And, you know, those who can relate to that crab-in-a-barrel mentality. Have you ever dealt with that? I mean, if you have dealt with that, how did you get by it? I mean, because sometimes it can become so frustrating. And some people actually quit doing what they're actually doing because they just can't deal with the heat and the hate. But I can tell you that heat and hate eventually will subside and you'll figure out who's doing what, but you got to keep doing whatever it is you're doing if you want to be, you know, successful. You should not settle for any kind of mediocrity in your life. You should always want and seek to, you know, make your dreams happen. And as they start to happen, you eventually start seeing them happen. Expect that, you know, hatred, expect all that. You know, that's from anybody, but especially in the black community when they don't want to see each other scale up whatsoever. I mean, it's sad because I look at things like this. We should be our brother and sister's keeper, and a lot of us don't think that way. We don't want to help each other out. We don't want to join with each other to, you know, make business or whatever. We always want to be an island to ourselves. This is why a lot of times that we don't scale up as a people group, is that we don't want to join and do anything together whatsoever. So what I'm going to do right now, I'm going to take a little short break and play an old California classic from Keek the Sneak, and I'll be back and do a few more talking points.
Yo, what's up, Keek?
That's my word.
Hyphy, what it do? It's easy.
That's my word.
Raw records, baby. Go game two.
Slapping while I'm hammer, slap, I'm smoking purpose, slapping yank. Inhaler, I'm crime team, miss, causing asthma attack. Hitting, second, early phase, got back to rest the same. Shoot him with cannon, so how you gonna act? But latent, I'm relating to. In that cutter, love for doing my sister. Owen, stretching, throwing, just a hurling. solo, but on the low, my butt, my doing hella. At one time, my definition of hyphy, man, is fizzing. I'm in the building and I'm feeling like RIP to the max, the RE. So don't stop, keep it going. Some privilege in the back, it's blowing. Hold it down for the Bay, rapping Oakland. If it wasn't for that granddaddy smoking, that's what I mean. For sure, know what I mean. See, that's what I mean. For sure, know what I mean. See, that's what I mean. For sure, know what I mean. See, that's what I mean. For sure, know what I mean. See, I don't put that on, that's my word. I don't put that on, that's my word. I don't think they know that's my word. I don't put that on, that's my word. Door launched, but if I pop up my base, if I lost you, you still with me. But speaking, kicking, snaking, all in the dog, the nappy frog still freak. I'm weakness, beneath, singing, turn it to a limp, but it's still unfitting. I see my d in the trap, what's up? Brother buy another mother, first cuff, fresh bloody. I miss the big, the husky, rusty. Quarterback, and trust me, rub the rest of me. Color purple, still in the street, and ugly. I don't know you, but you loving me, fresher than sun. Look for the motherfucker. Game to send me so long, run the beat. Here comes the truth, nigga. Self talk, but to do a technique. Not to fight, self talk, but to do on this beat. This for the street. That's what I mean. For sure, know what I mean. See, that's what I mean. For sure, know what I mean. See, that's what I mean. For sure, know what I mean. See, that's what I mean. For sure, know what I mean. See, I don't put that on, that's my word. I don't put that on, that's my word. I don't think they know, that's my word. I don't put that on, that's my word. First, second verse, this my third. Sixth grade, driving to school, I had fiber. I don't put that on, that's my word. Oh, you hip now? I was promised y'all, you was nerd. I was being bad, you was being good. But all this time, had a destiny, statehood. All that shit I've been through, look at me now. I'm fly young like a match, make back to the town. Penny cap foul, I'm a mug on men. Me, waking up your family with 415. In the driveway, they can't stand me. Die Hard Raiders, sneak babies, grab Randy. Boss, put it on thick like Mac Lewis. Oh, and Hillis, I ain't taking a loss. But hey, this is cause I've been had thoughts. That's what I mean, for sure, know what I mean. See, that's what I mean, for sure, know what I mean. See, that's what I mean, for sure, know what I mean. See, that's what I mean, for sure, know what I mean. See, I don't put that on, that's my word. I don't put that on, that's my word. I don't think they know, that's my word. I don't put that on, that's my word.
Okay, everyone, I'm back. I had to get a little break, get a little water in my system. But I don't know if everyone's been watching the Olympics, as we were talking about this a little earlier. But these Olympics have been very, very interesting. I have seen so many displays of unsportsmanlike conduct, people acting like children. Like this one lady from Jamaica, she lost a race. She threw herself on the floor. What was that about? My 7 year old don't even do things like that. I don't know if you've seen that lady from Jamaica that did that. That didn't make a bit of sense. I mean, what kind of representation is that on the world stage to do? Acting like children. And that's the problem with a lot of these women these days. They act like children, act like spoiled brats, because it's that American female entitlement that a lot of them feel they have, that they can just break down, cry, make a scene, do what they want to do anytime they feel like it, because hey, they're women, they can get a pass, they can get away with this. This sort of behavior on the world stage that I've been seeing is just beyond me. Having issues with each other, you know, taking shots at each other, which I'll post a YouTube video about that very shortly after the show. It's just so sad to see these things, you know, going on the world stage. And they're not realizing they're representing their families, they're representing their themselves, and, you know, the country also. So I'm going to make sure that you follow me on Blog Talk Radio to keep up with any, you know, new shows I'm doing. I'm trying to arrange another sister to come through and talk to us about some, you know, dating issues. Also, you can follow me on Twitter. That's The Advised Show. And you can like my Facebook page. That is facebook.com/TheAdvisedShow as well. You could check out my YouTube channel. It's called The Advised Show TV now. My old channel, The Advised Show, I don't really use much anymore. I had to switch over to another one. But all my old videos are there on archive. So I'm going to wrap the show up and everything, and I don't want to keep everyone on, you know, too much longer. I don't have any callers right now, anything like that, or questions. So y'all take care of yourself, and you know, enjoy your weekend. You know, have fun with your kids and your wife if you got one girlfriend. Y'all be easy. Y'all take care and stay out of that heat, because shoot, it's hot down here in Texas.